typing. Somebody.
Yes. Well, I'm going to have to leave for a few minutes. The dogs need attention, so that's what I was typing.
Well, tell us when you come back, and that'll be just fine.
Okay.
Josh is still here. He can help. Carol Hyde is here. She is the executive director of the Palo Alto Humane Society. They've become a fairly frequent guest here on the program, partially because they're so different from so many other humane societies. Carol, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you, David. I'm very pleased to be back again.
And we're thrilled to have you back again, particularly because, you know, you're here to answer questions and not just, I don't know how quite to describe it, but you provide really great and a lot of useful information during our segments together. And I am looking at the list right now, and there's just a zillion things that you've got going on at Palo Alto Humane this spring.
Yes, we are very much looking forward to the first submission in this third competition for our Ambassadors of Compassion Story Writing Contest. This is for middle school students in Santa Clara and San Mateo counties. So if any of your listeners are in those counties, please think of entering our contest. This is a contest that has nice awards, $500 for the winner, and we print the winning stories in a publication, illustrated, and we ask people to think about how people and animals help each other. And we do this competition because we'd like student writers to become ambassadors for the issue of kindness and animal well-being, and to, you know, start to create a framework for a future, for an ethical society. Students become agents of change as they work through their contest. And so we are looking forward to the first submissions.
And we need to get Santa Cruz somehow involved in this so that all of our listeners can play a part in it, because it is so fascinating. Your group does such good work, and we're involved in a lot of it. And then occasionally something great like this contest comes up, and it's not quite us. And I understand how busy you all are and how many things you have to do. So I'm not trying to complain, but gee, you guys do good work.
Well, thank you. You know, we really put an emphasis on education, and I think we're free to do that because we don't manage an animal shelter. Animal shelters have to focus on the animals that they have and finding homes. And we have a set of programs that we hope keep animals in the home and from having to end up in an animal shelter. So we put a big focus on education. We look at it as kind of an investment in the future of animal welfare and teaching children what their ethical responsibilities are to animals, how to make a better world. So we have a lot of programs, and I would like to say that many of the programs are adaptable by other communities. So if you look on our website, our education page, you see many programs that probably could be adapted to schools in Santa Cruz and your county. So we encourage you to take a look.
Well, this is all fascinating again, and you do a great job. And, again, much of it is not in Santa Cruz. Well, much of it is not what people think of when they think of as a program that a shelter is going to be doing. It's about, you know, a bigger issue than what most shelters are able to. And I'm sorry I keep talking into myself like this, and I apologize, but it's fascinating and important.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I'd like to say a little bit more about the story writing contest. And, you know, maybe next year we can include Santa Cruz. I think that could be quite exciting. So the first year we had a winning story called Snapshot. And it was about a lonely girl who met a lonely donkey. And she remedied it. The donkey ended up with a friend, and she ended up with friends. And we turned that story into a book, which is a compilation not only of her story, but of information about donkeys, organizations around the world that help donkeys. That book and our other children's books are on Amazon. And then last year, the winner, Aaron Wong, wrote a beautiful story about puppy mills, which is really a crucial issue in animal welfare. Puppies just turned out like the products. And he wrote a beautiful story about a puppy mill. She spent her life producing puppies. And at the end of her life, a boy in the family gave her a name. It was just a very moving story. It's amazing what children can, I should say young people, can write when they think about it. They think empathetically. They put themselves in the position of the animal. And it's just really wonderful what they write. I just think it's a wonderful contest. Maybe next year we can include Santa Cruz.
Well, this is enough to make me tear up, so I apologize. if sometime later in the program I'm... I mean that is an important thing. Kids need to understand how to look after animals and to put a lot of effort into it and to get this known out there.
Well, I think some of our programs also connect students, young people with the animal shelter. We have several. We have a program called Adoptables Art, where generally art classes will visit a shelter. The students meet the animals. They take pictures. Right. They go back. They spend 5 or 6 weeks painting a portrait of their favorite animal. And it's amazing what they paint. It's really wonderful. There's a gallery on our website. But I think it's like a civics lesson. They understand the purpose of an animal shelter. They understand why animals are there. They put themselves in the position of the animal. Many classes have their art students then write a piece on, from the animal's point of view, on what it's like to wait for a home, hope to have a home, and then be adopted. And it's very empathetic. In fact, empathy, I think, is the basis of all our programs. The other program that teaches children about the shelter is Kitties to Kitties, and that's a shelter animal reading project. Young people go to the shelter. They sit and read with the cats or with the dogs. It's wonderful for shy readers, and it turns out that all the students love the program. And then again, they learn what the purpose of the animal shelter is. They learn why animals are in the shelter, and these are some sad stories, and they really learn to think about it. And maybe to create social change. That's what we hope for.
Laura Pekus, are you back here with me? Nope, no Laura Pekus back. She has been dealing with some animal problems there at her facility. So what are the most important things, do you think, that your shelter is working on right now that people need to be aware of and people should see if they can find some way to support from the community?
Well, we do three things. We advocate for animals. And so I know that our educator spoke with you a few weeks ago about our Parvo Puppy Health Campaign. This is an informational campaign to let the community, bilingual, Spanish and English, also translated into Vietnamese and Chinese, know right. about puppy health and how important vaccinations are. Immediately take your puppy, new puppy, to the veterinarian. They have a plan for vaccinations. Parvo is a terrible killing disease, and it just kills puppies very fast. So you don't want that to happen to your puppy. So we have an informational campaign. We have veterinary help programs for people who can't afford sudden costs. And we do that because we like to keep animals in the home from being surrendered or euthanized for economic reasons. And we have big spay-neuter support program. And by the way, I appreciate the very good interview that Laura gave with Susan Steenstra last hour. Susan's one of our best educators. And we do indeed have support for rabbits, spaying and neutering. And the third thing we do, of course, then, is this big education program that we have.
Well, this is all, again, very fascinating, and we're starting to look at shelters, well, going, what, back in session? Is that the way to describe it? Now the schools are going back in person. What programming will you be doing going forward that you haven't been doing so much while we've been away from school?
Yeah, we've had to suspend our in-class and after-school programs. but several programs have continued with experimented doing them online. The animal shelter reading program that I mentioned and the pet painters program, we have experimented doing those through Zoom. And because classrooms closed last year, we decided to create more online distance learning materials. So we have a wonderful set of videos on our website. They are called Touchy Feely Talks, and they are by specialists on many different animal topics. They're fun. They're interesting. And that, along with our Mau Wau Animals curriculum, comprise a very strong distance learning program. And again, these are for anybody, anywhere to use. So we encourage teachers, parents, communities to look at our website and use our materials, please. We'd love that.
And how do they find your website and find this information?
You can go to paloaltohumane.org. That's our website. And you'll see our programs, our veterinary programs, our advocacy, and our education programs. So please do take a look.
One of the things we've talked about, and I want to bring it up now very specifically, is we generally talk about animal shelters and organizations that run shelters, and that's what we think of. Your organization is not that kind of a shelter focused, and I may be saying this wrong, but you're not shelter focused the way, many shelters are.
Yeah, Humane Society, SPCA, those names usually suggest an animal shelter. And in fact, the Palo Alto Humane Society was for decades a very good shelter in Palo Alto. That was taken over by the city. I've never found a reason why, except maybe the growth of city services. So we have been able now to focus, I think, in a very constructive way, as I say, to help people keep their animals at home, keep animals from being unwanted, born on the street. We do this through education. We advocate for good policies. And we really help people with their vet bills and with their spay and neuter needs. So, yeah, we're not a shelter organization. I think we have a very particular niche in the community that's very unique. There are other humane societies, a handful of them. Ohlone Humane Society in the East Bay is similar. And there's just a small percentage across the country that are like Palo Alto Humane Society. But we love this role. We love fulfilling it in creative ways, like the Ambassadors of Compassion Story Writing Contest. Very unique. So please look at all our programs.
And you do have these great programs that really do matter, really do make a difference in the community. They are expansive from what you do in other areas and from what other shelters do. And I think that's really important. We don't see what your group does often enough, I think, in sheltering programs. And then we see what you do and how you work with the community there and how, you know, you work with other organizations. And it really is tremendous what you're able to do.
Well, you know, volunteers really help us do that. Our volunteer corps, especially in our education program, the volunteer corps takes our message out, amplifies it in the community. We love volunteers. You can help us. You can even help us from Santa Cruz by taking our education programs, for example, and putting them into your schools or your organizations, your community groups. And so volunteers do a great deal for us. Otherwise, we're a very small staff, and we like to say we're very productive.
Well, that's a big part of why you're on here, is because you do so much work that can be taken out into the community, north, south, east, and west, because you're not full-time running a shelter, you don't have all these other programs going on. You can focus on the animal-related programs that don't require custodianship and do require more volunteers. And it's just, I think, very important what you do out in the community, and I'm thankful for what you do and for how it's made available.
I appreciate your saying that. We do our best to have our materials in the Spanish language as well. And our media campaign for the Puppy Health Initiative, some outlets put that into Vietnamese and Chinese. So we're thinking of expanding our materials that way so that all people have access to good resources. They know how to take care of the animals. Everybody loves their animals. So we want to have good resources available to people, good information. And I'd have to say another thing, David, if I could, about our humane education program. So
sure.
Many organizations have dropped their education programs. The Humane Society of the United States no longer has an education program. I think the San Francisco SPCA just continued its very good program. But I'd like to point out that the state of California actually recognizes the need for humane education, and they have in their code a statement that all children in California must be taught about kindness to animals. It's a wonderful statement. And we decided we would work with Assemblymember Mullen, who's from San Mateo. We worked with him to craft and pass an assembly resolution, which does highlight the development of good character to teaching children about kindness to animals. The resolution promotes the teaching of humane education. So we have tailored all our programs to give teachers and communities the tools they need to fulfill this mandate. So that's just another one of the things that we've done in terms of the promotion of education.
So how is it that so many humane groups have gotten out of that education?
Well, I think many big groups now are focusing on legislation, which, of course, is very important. Humane Society of the United States, I know, has been featured on your program. They do a wonderful job with state initiatives and national initiatives. Totally important. Other organizations may have their economic priorities. I can't speak to that. But I think education is how you create a better future. It's humane education is the same as general education. It's an investment in society. So we put a great emphasis on the teaching of children.
Well, we need education for children so that we can get them, you know, where we want humane care to be in this country, so that the children are expecting to come into a humane world and have a humane world in which to act and can use the skills and the talents that we can build out in the community. Because if we don't do that, we're just not going to get the kind of outcome that we're hoping for. I mean, it just seems so silly that we wouldn't be doing it, but I think, as you point out, there are groups that are backing away from it.
Well, some schools also have dropped their civics courses. They've dropped their teachings in character development. And so we want to have the schools have our materials. So we will be knocking on schools' doors to promote our materials. But they're all ready. They're free. They're for teachers to use, amend to your own purposes. And it's just very important that this be taught. So I really appreciate this airtime to talk about this.
Well, it's important, and it's something that we really need to support you on because, again, your group is a leader in getting this information out there, not just in your community, but across Northern California because, well, frankly, you know, in some ways, because you don't do a shelter, you're bigger than you are.
Well, I think our programs are definitely there. They're online, and they're there to be used. And as I say, I think our volunteers also take our programs out, you know, beyond Palo Alto. We serve way beyond Palo Alto. And I think we would like to see groups across the country use, for instance, our Mau-Wau Animals curriculum. We've had some international inquiries about that curriculum. And it's nice because it's also accompanied by a movie that we made with our puppets. We have a cast of characters who are puppets. And we did that on how a community can help a lonely dog. And that won a Telly Award, Bronze Telly Award, several years ago.
Oh, I remember, yes.
Yeah, so that's for everybody to use. Just go on to Mau-Wau Animals and help yourself.
Well, it's, again, find the information online, and you make it available to people beyond the communities that, you know, people first think of you in on the peninsula, and you do a great job of making this all available. And I really appreciate it because, you know, part of the reason we want to have you here is so that you can tell people, you know, what's going on, what exists, how they can help. We have about, three, four more minutes. What else should we talk about today?
Well, I think we could talk about our spay-neuter program, and I'm sure that you have a spay-neuter program down with your SPCA, but it's very important for animals to be spayed, not be born on the streets. It's just animals go into the shelter, and then that puts pressure on animals that have to be there at the shelter for other reasons. It makes it hard for all animals to get a home. So we really encourage the spaying and neutering. You probably have a cadre of people in Santa Cruz who trap feral cats, get them spayed.
That's, yes, we do.
Yeah, great. So we have that up here. We support a network of people up here in Mid-Peninsula who do that, and we support them through, spay-neuter vouchers. And it's been a problem this year, actually, because a lot of the clinics have closed with COVID. They're beginning to open again. So we are going to encourage new volunteers to join us in helping spay feral cats. Very important aspect, probably one of the most important things you can do generally for animal welfare. And I think that would be in addition to education. So we're pleased to be active there, too. And our donors support us. We don't have any government contracts. So if anybody wants to support the work up here in the Mid-Peninsula, we love your donation.
And you certainly make good use of it. And I was a resident up on the peninsula for a while and worked with the shelter there. And you certainly do a great job, and you certainly were very helpful to me and to other groups right up and down the peninsula, both in San Mateo and, you know, we had people in San Francisco County and San Mateo County and Santa Clara County, all of whom worked with the organizations there, and it was very, very important, and it worked out pretty well.
That's great. That's wonderful. And it's a growing concept that you can spay feral cats, even if you can't handle them, you trap them humanely, you spay them, and that's how you deal with population control. It used to be you would take them to a shelter and have them euthanized. Nobody wants to do that anymore. So spaying and neutering them and then providing some maintenance for their lifetime is just the way now to do things. So
I did trap and spay up on the peninsula for a number of years, and again, some of them with your group, and it absolutely works. It's absolutely necessary, and it causes there to be less of a population of cats, and it just works out too well not to be doing it and not to be involved in it, and for volunteers not to be helping to lead those sorts of programs. And I just want to tell everybody, wherever you are, there are spay-neuter programs being run by your local shelters and your local sheltering organizations that really can do a lot of good if you support them. It's real simple. It's not real expensive, but they need you, and they need you now because what you can do is save a bunch of lives.
Absolutely. You know what? If your shelter doesn't have that kind of support program, talk to them and advocate to your city council. If you need your shelter to do certain things that are, you know, standard now, humane policies, and David, as you said, life-saving. So not having kittens is life-saving, right? So it saves
lives. Absolutely.
Yeah, animals would have to be in the shelter, have a better chance of getting a home when all these kittens don't come in and take cage space. So, advocate for what you need your community to do. Support that.
There are lots of good programs that do need all of our support in order to move forward. And many of them are very simple as let's get a program going so that we can spay neuter more cats so we don't have so many in the community, but we don't kill them just for grins either. And that's really, really important. Hey, Carol Hyde is executive director of the Palo Alto Humane Society. We've been talking now, and I know we've gone through some of the same topics a couple of times, and I apologize that I'm still a little bit sick and under the weather. But, Carol, you've been really great, and I really, really appreciate your spending time with us on behalf of PAHS and sharing these stories with the community.
I'm just really happy to be here on your terrific show. I just really appreciate this opportunity. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much, the Palo Alto Humane Society. Somebody can find you at paloaltohumane.org, paloaltohumane.org. We do not have a program next week because it is Easter and we are taking the week off. We will be back live in 2 weeks. Now, we'll have a taped program next week. You're welcome to be here. I may be here. I may actually even talk for a second. But that's what we have coming up for next week. I'm David Corsi. Susan has been here. We appreciate her. Laura Pecus, we appreciate her. We appreciate, Carol having been here, and you very much for being here with the program. I am David Corsi, david@corsey.com, KSCO 1080 Santa Cruz. It is now exactly 2 o'clock. See you next week. News this hour.